Cassius Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Cassius Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 25th, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And don't forget that if you can't reach me, keep trying. And here's another thing. You can also send me an email. Seems out. It's the modern thing. Send me an email with your prayer request on it. And if you want a phone call, put your phone number on there also. And I will call you when I get a chance. But we'll do it. Anyway, you can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. I challenge you to share that blog as our radio program with at least two other three people. The over there, it's really smartphone friendly. You can get our radio program archives. You can either download them or just stream them. Whatever your choice is, you can do that. Anyway, and also it's looks good on a computer, of course. And those of you that are listening on satellite, regular radio, I'd like to hear from you once in a while. Send me a postcard or something in the mail. Lets me know that you're watching, because I know you folks are listening out there on satellite. We get, and you folks that are listening to us in various countries like India and United Kingdom and all over the world, we do appreciate your listening in. Once in a while, you can send me an email and say, hey, we heard you on the radio. But we do have a map for our downloads. We can't tell who's listening live, but we can tell whereabouts in the world that our programs are being downloaded at or being hit play from the podcast archives. And we have a lot of folks. New place that popped up the other day that kind of surprised me is San Diego, California. There seems to be hundreds and hundreds of downloads in the city of San Diego, California. So whoever it is listening over there, folks, we love you. Consider about praying about a donation to support this radio ministry, because radio airtime is not free. The other folks in Plano, Texas, and so on and so forth, we do appreciate you. Wichita, Kansas, there's a lot of people in Wichita. All of you folks, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church or just support radio airtime. We do need your help, so pray about it. Okay, let's see. What is on with tonight? Oh, okay, I guess I better say a prayer so we can bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor our guest's will, because, Father, we really don't know how to do radio. We don't know what to say. You need to give us what we need to say. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So in your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest has been on with us many times before. I've been bringing him back on because so many people like to hear him. He's been talking about Daniel 8 and a lot of recent events and lots of other subjects. Anyway, he's an Army veteran that served our country in Korea. He's traveled the country as an evangelist, and there is much more to the story, which you can find at where? at surewordofprophecy.org. That's surewordofprophecy.org. And if I got that wrong, I'm sure he will correct it. Anyway, tonight he's going to talk about prophets, the false, the fake, and the freaky. I can't hear what he has to say tonight because I even asked this recently on a radio program was, you know, if there are modern-day prophets, then what is the qualification? How do we know that they're prophets? What's the test? Is anybody really holy enough? So we'll see what, and I don't know where Steve's going to take this. So let's welcome Steve Henderson, and we'll see what else I can get out of him. Steve, are you there with me?
Shalom, Pastor Dan. Thanks for your invitation to be back on your most important program. I appreciate it very much. Consider it a privilege.
Well, I appreciate you being back on, especially on short notice. And you always, like you say, you always got something to talk about. And this seems to be quite a subject. I would like to just, though, take 1 minute out and tell the folks real briefly about that my wife's okay.
I was going to ask you about that, brother. How's she doing?
Well, okay, just in brief, because I don't want to get into a 10 or 15-minute long thing, but it's going to go like this. We took her in for the operation because, as most people know, I've been talking about it, they discovered a brain aneurysm in the main artery to her brain right behind her right eye. Because it had never burst, they didn't have to go open up her skull, but it was still brain surgery. It had to go up through an artery. They filled up this little aneurysm with platinum, a little platinum wire that filled it up and made it, you know, no longer existing, I guess. But the operation was supposed to take at least 4 hours plus. That's the big thing, okay? Well, we prayed on her, and, of course, a lot of folks out there have been praying for her. Amen. So I'm not just saying it's our prayers, but we, two brothers from church and my sister, we went in and laid hands on her. I anointed her with oil, and as we went to pray on her, I looked down at her, and she was scared to death. But then when a brother touched her on the foot, you know, because we all were touching her, but he touched her first on the foot, she said she felt a cold rush, just rushed through the bottom of her feet and out the top of her head, and she just had immediate peace on her. And so she wasn't worried about anything. Well, that long operation took 45 minutes to do.
Hallelujah.
And so,
hallelujah.
Yeah, praise the Father. The only problem I'm having now is she's supposed to rest for 7 days. And if anybody can figure out how I can get my wife to rest, I gave you all my phone number. Give me a call. I'd like to know because there's no keeping this woman down. But anyway, so that's the story and everything's fine. I'm trying to get back to normal because, you know, I'm kind of shell-shocked from it because it was very traumatic. The person that has been with me for 30 years, the other half of me, I slept by her bed the whole time. You know, I didn't leave her room except to get some food. You know what I mean? I stayed with her. It was traumatic to go through. And so as long as I don't talk about it too much, I'm doing okay. And things are maybe getting back to better than normal. Anyway, so, Steve, what is this? The prophets, the false, the fake, and the freaky? Do we have freaky prophets, or what are you going to talk about?
Well, because this program is titled Mission Watch, I thought it would be appropriate to admonish your listening audience to watch out for these prophets who are false, fake, and freaky. Yes, there are some freaky ones. In fact, I think I'll just set the stage for this discussion and give you an idea where I'm going with this. I'd like to share a remark made by a false prophet who has a big following today. And as he's looking back on an encounter that he had with a woman in a revival, he was articulating this event, and he declares this, and I quote, "And I'm thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, it's because you haven't kicked that woman in the face. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, the gift of faith came on me, and he said, kick her in the face with your biker boot. I inched closer, and I went like this, and he kicks out forcefully and screams, bam! And just as my boot made contact with her nose, she fell under the power of God." Pastor Dan?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
The power of God. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Brother, you don't have a... You just, if you think it's an isolated oddball omission, there are thousands more just like you. And I am just so absolutely incredibly amazed. One would have to ask, how can someone be so credulous and so gullible to follow such a freaky prophet such as this? Do followers these type of false teachers just leave their brain outside before coming into the church scene? You know, something like this is amazing to me.
It's astounding.
Pardon me?
I just said it's astounding. It's just literally. Okay, go ahead, Roy.
Well, I'm deeply concerned, brother, about how not only pathetic it is, but more afraid of the ones who subjugate themselves under this type of a leadership in the church. And, of course, we see in the scriptures, as the time gets closer to the arrival of our Savior Yeshua, we're admonished in a sure word of prophecy to be warned of false prophets and their increasing numbers and prophetic declarations. And what I'd like to do is to start this out would be to take you to Matthew 24, and we're just going to read a couple of verses here. But as Yeshua began to tell of the signposts that would take place before he would return back to the earth, he began to talk about, the hardships and the famine and pestilence and earthquakes and these type of things that were very visible. And he called them the beginning of birth pangs. And then he says that they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name. And at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. What I'd like to note here, Brother Dan, is Yeshua connects a falling away with the arrival of imposters who say they've heard from God. Now, please note at the time of this chaotic mess, Jesus warns, many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness has increased, most people's love will grow cold. Now, I'd like to, for a moment, just note a couple of things about this, Pastor Dan, about this statement. Number one, it doesn't say that there's going to be a few false prophets, but many are going to show up during this time. And also notice that the fakes will mislead many, not just a few. So their influence is going to be over a worldwide setting. In fact, when you look at the book of Revelation and other prophetic declarations throughout the scripture, you find, for example, in Revelation the 16th chapter, you see that John declared there would be spirit-like demons that will come out of the mouth of the dragon, beast, and false prophet to deceive the whole world and gather together to the great battle of the Lord God Almighty. So we see that the spirit of demons are going to be misleading many people. In addition, one noteworthy connection, that through their influence, lawlessness is increasing, which also might be noted up front that this is the whole reason for the fakes to proclaim false revelations in the first place. And they come in his name and they falsify and they con people into doing something that will be against God, Yahweh's will. So just a few moments later, Yeshua clearly warns again of these religious spokesmen who've had a declaration and will even be backing up their messages with signs and wonders. And he says this in verse 23 through 26 of Matthew 24. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the very elect. Behold, I've told you in advance. So if they said to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out there. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, do not believe them. And then he goes on to tell the hearing audience exactly how he would come back, that it would be as lightning shines from the east to the west. And so there would be a lot of these false prophets and false teachers that would say, hey, there he is, or there he isn't. And he said, I told you in advance, here's how it's going to come down. And unfortunately, I believe, Pastor Nance, there's way too many people that are absolutely ignorant as far as what the Bible declares and in the revelation that's contained within that 66 books. There are way too many people following these false shepherds, false leaders, and there are these prophets are mingling a little truth with a whole bunch of error. And it may be a quarter truth, it might be a half truth, It might be a three-quarter truth or even a 15-16 truth, but something in their prophetic declarations will result in turning many away from the Almighty and never returning. And brother, I don't know about you, but I think this is very serious business we're in right here, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Most people don't know what's in their book because they don't read their book. And the percent of people that have just read the New Testament in the United States is below, you ready for this? Below 10% have actually just even read the New Testament. So there you have it. If they don't know what's in the book, people can tell them, well, everything. Go ahead, back to you.
Yes, brother. It's a lot more convenient to sit like you like people do in church. They sit in front of someone and get spoon-fed. And it comes from this guy's own interpretation. And they don't know whether it's truth or not. But because the guy's charismatic and he's got a good way to preach, heck, he's a good preacher and he's got a big church. So, man, he must be right. You know, but they're absolutely ignorant. What did Yahweh tell Hosea through the prophet? He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," and that is what I'm very seriously considering, brother. Is this the consequences of what it is to be underneath some of these spiritual fakes? The Apostle Paul said that in the latter times there will be those who would fall from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And I don't know about you, brother, but I'll tell you what, I have seen a lot of demonic doctrine out there. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
And I think it's, you know, absolutely vital to understand what is in front of us here and anticipate, even as we speak, there's a deluge of deceivers right now in the body of Yeshua. And it's imperative that we comprehend the consequences for not taking time to diligently contemplate why we believe what we do. Time and time again, we're warned by Scripture to watch out. One such passage is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 16. And all through the New Testament, we find these warnings. Yeshua declared, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And then he declared, "You will know them by their fruits." Brother, I have walked in to a couple of assemblies in the past. And, you know, how do I say this? One particular assembly that I walked into, my next-door neighbor had invited me to come to his church. And I kept saying, yeah, I'll come. And finally, he kept on until I showed up. And what I observed that day was nothing less than a circus act. And I could tell by the fruit that was in the building, and one of the fruits being self-control, and that is one of the fruits of the Spirit, I could recognize right away that I was in a place where I didn't belong. And it did take me about half of the service before I got to walk out before I rebuke all of them. And these places are a dime a dozen, and they're everywhere. In the Apostle's letter, he speaks of deceitful work. The Apostle Peter, in his speaking in his epistle, he said, "There are false prophets who arose among the people, just as there were also false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words." Man, that sounds like today. Here Peter was talking about destructive heresies, truth amalgamated with error, and according to Peter, these false prophets and deceptive teachers had a big following, and they were spiritual fakes who determined to get all they could get out of you, motivated by greed, he said. And they con you with smooth, lying words. Satan's strategy had to change after Yeshua went back to his father. He began to persecute the believers, and he was killing them, and he found out that every time he killed a disciple, the blood would be raised up in its place, and 100 would come up in its stead. And he said, boy, we're going to have to rethink our strategy here. So he had to re-strategize, and he said, well, we can try something else different here. If you can't beat him, then let's just join him. So he infiltrated inside the church and inside the body of believers, and that is what he has done in all throughout the history of the scripture. But it was very evident that when Yeshua went back to his fathers, believers were infiltrated by false teachers and fake prophets. In fact, Yeshua came to John on the island of Patmos and told John to send a warning to many of the churches who were deceived by false doctrine. And one such example is found given to the church of Thyatira, and that's found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. And Yeshua said this to the church there, I had this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Pastor Dan, we're told that we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices, and so we need to recognize how his strategy is put out there in the public and in the churches. It says in one of his epistles, Paul declares that there are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise them as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. When looking for the devil, brother, you ought to be looking behind the pulpit, and I hate to say that.
Yeah,
but,
amen. We got to break in. It's that time for a break. I can't wait to get back and hear more about this because I have a couple of comments. But, Steve, you need to tell them where your website is so we can get them over there to look at your other things. You have a lot of other things over there, DVDs and stuff. Tell them where you're at.
Yeah, it's surewordprophecy.org. And I try to keep people enlightened with the prophetic news section. I get a lot of people that hit that every day and kind of keep caught up on the news and what's going on around the world. And I also, on my presentation tab, have put a lot of my presentations on YouTube, and there's a tab there that you can actually go to see some of my seminars that I'm putting together for prophetic seminars. So,
well, amen.
Yes,
it's all true. All right, well, we'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from all over the city seeking things like food, clothing, first aid, things for their children. They have a need, they come to us. Well, you know, why do they come to us? It really doesn't make a lot of sense. Here we are, this little hole-in-the-wall building in one of the worst parts of the city of Wichita, which, by the way, isn't that where ministers should be at, is where the worst of the stuff is instead of where the best of the stuff is? That's kind of what I think. And I also believe that the pastor should be the brokest guy on the block because he's gave away all his money. At least that's the way it is with me. Anyway, so going back to that, so why do they come to us for help? Well, because we give them relationships. They don't mind coming in and pouring out their heart. They know that chances are I don't have right there exactly what they need. But if we don't have what they need, we pray it in. And so, you know, miracle prayers. There's lots and lots of miracle prayers. You know, lots of things get done. We've helped thousands and thousands upon thousands of people over the years. Just about a week ago, I was there and a new fellow came in and from Oklahoma. And as a second thought, he said, hey, by the way, Pastor, he said, you probably don't know it. He says, but you know how famous you are? And I go, oh, okay, another one of these guys. And he says, no, really, you know how famous you are? He says, I heard about you 4 hours away before I ever got here in Oklahoma as I was on the way here about to come here because this was a place to come to and that you cared about the people, and so I had to come. Now, folks, that's not me. I'm flesh and blood, but I allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. Just as we allow the mission church, we allow the Holy Spirit to do what it wants. Instead of having a whole bunch of set guidelines and rules and all that thing, we wait for the people to ask, and then we pray about it. You know, there's sometimes we say, no, we're not led to do that. And, you know, a lot of times, yeah, it's because of financing, but a lot of times we're just not led. I don't feel an unction from the Spirit. But if we do have an unction from the Holy Spirit, then we pray it in, and these people get answers. There's miracles, and it happens over and over and over. Can I keep getting these stories, you know, about how famous we are and how the police say we're legends? Well, I rebuke all that in the sense none of that's from me or about me. That's all about the Father and His Son. That's what it is. We set examples for people of how a real Messiah-like or Christian, you know, Christian, that's what the word Christian means, is Messiah-like, how a Messiah-like person should be. In other words, we're supposed to be acting in the same mannerism as our masters. And that's not an act. If you just let your old self die and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, then it just comes natural. There's not anything that you have to do. And it's surely not work. It's just faith. You know, faith's an action word. Faith means I believe in something and I get off on my feet and walk in that faith, just like us. You know, so many, we live 60 miles from the Wichita Mission Church. We get up out of faith. Some days I barely have the gas money, or I just have the gas in my tank to get there and not enough to get back. But I go over there and I do the work, you know, and maybe somebody walks in with a donation. That's a rarity because, you know, I don't get, even though doing it 15 years in Wichita, I don't get the support from Wichita that we clearly should because it is Wichita City, but that's why the Father sent us there, you know, I'm sure. But anyway, but so the money will come somewhere, or somebody will send a PayPal donation and it's just enough to do what we need. And so we've always made it. 15 years, now we're going on, we started 16 in June, and we're there for the people. We are there for the people. We are there for the people, and, you know, they get their things. So we don't really have any set guidelines like programs. You know, again, people just walk in the door. We give them relationships, and that relationship that we give them is one of love and of kindness, and that is of Yeshua. And when you give them those things, they know that you're different. People have millions of dollars in their budget. Send people to a place that has no budget. Folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations matters, no matter what size, it helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, that's what. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And we do appreciate checks, you know, and money orders. If you donate online, I get it instantly. But, you know, pray about it. Really do. You know what? And if you send a donation by mail, even though we are considered a church, we are a church, so we can give you a thank you note, not a 501(c) tax number, but a thank you note, and so that, in fact, you can get, if you want to use it for a tax deduction, you can use it, as many, many people do. So pray about it. Really could use your help. And so, anyway, we're now back with Steve Henderson. Are you still with me, Steve? Or did you leave? Steve? Hello? Well, maybe he did leave. I wonder what's going on there. Well, folks, we're going to have to check on this real quick from my producer and see what's going on. Yes, we are still connected to you live, and we're trying to get Steve back on with us. Maybe my headset went out or something. I don't know. Can I get an indication from Frank there at the radio station whether or not Steve is on or not, or whether I'm being heard?
Hello.
Okay, Steve, where you been?
Hey, I've been speaking. You just didn't hear me.
I'm sorry. I must have a short in my mic. Or not my mic.
I think you do, brother, because you're cutting out on my side. So I'm having a hard time hearing some of the things you're saying. But I will say this. I do appreciate your ministry, brother, and he's interested in the walk and not the talk. And you walk the walk, brother, and I deeply appreciate your ministry and hope that your listeners will stand behind you. There is one, brother, you might want to contact just out of interest. I understand he just got $65 million to get him a new jet. He appealed to his congregants, and he asked for, I think it was out of his 200,000 followers, to send 300 dollars a piece, and he wound up getting a brand new jet to help spread the gospel around the world. So you might want to check out his website, and maybe he can give you a few tips on how to get some money for your homeless mission, brother.
So, thanks.
You know, it's pitiful. And that's why I'm speaking the way I am today, because I'm very, very frustrated at what I see taking place, and it very clearly shows me, brother, we're facing the end of days, because there are a lot of these false teachers and false prophets that bring in damnable heresies and exploiting people and conning people with smooth and lying words. And but on the same hand, where you find the false prophet, you're going to find the true prophets of God. And a lot of people ask, is there such a thing as a true prophet today? And I recognize that that when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said that God himself gave to his body apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry till we all come in the unity of the faith into a perfect man in fullness and measure stature of Yeshua. So very clearly, the function of a prophet still exists today, and a lot of them propagate, well, Yeshua was the last prophet, and he spoke in these last days by his son. But I believe that if there were ever prophets that were needed in the body, it would be today, because there are so many that have gone wayward. And there's two functions primarily for a prophet that I find in the scripture. One is an area of foretelling, where men were moved by the Holy Spirit to show believers things to come. He said that he would knew things he would do, and before they came forth, he would show the believers about these things. And he would not do anything until he showed his servants the prophets the things to declare to his people. So he'll never catch you off guard, and he'll always warn you beforehand of things, and he'll send people to show you that. And the other was in foretelling, where he sent his representative into the his body to bring correction and encouragement sometimes, or to warn of impending doom. You know, and I think that we could see where this will be applicable today, as we see so much folly taking place in the name of Yeshua. What do you think, brother?
Absolutely. And that's just it. I'm looking for those prophets to start coming forward. How about you?
I believe they're around. They're just very, very few, though, you know, in number. But what I don't like is for someone to say, hey, I'm prophet such and such, you know. That right away just throws a red flag up to me. I think that if you are a prophet, other people are going to recognize it, and you won't have to say a thing. I'm not going to say, well, I'm prophet or I'm this or that. People will understand your gift by what you're propagating and how you're lining up with the unadulterated word of Yahweh. So,
absolutely.
But you know,
absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I thought that these people that go around, oh, I'm apostle such and such and prophet, you know, a percentage of those people have been hoodwinked into believe that they should take on those titles and such. But, you know, I'm with you. I believe that you don't have to call yourself a prophet or whatever. It will just, people will recognize that. But who cares? As long as people recognize the message that you're putting out, and that what Yahweh intended it to be. Back to you.
Yes. Well, Yahweh always sent his prophets into the camp, because a lot of times they would be led astray by false prophets. In one of the passages of Scripture, and found it through the prophet Ezekiel, we find Ezekiel speaking out against the prophets of Israel. And here's what he said in Ezekiel 13:2 and onward. Yahweh says, "Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying, and say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to the breaks in the walls to repair it for the house of Israel, so that it shall stand firm in the battle of the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and their divinations a lie. And they say, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Elohim. See, there's criteria for recognizing a true prophet from a fake. And a lot of times there would be, Satan would infiltrate, and as he always has and always will, even from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, he infiltrated into the garden and worked his lies. And, of course, he's a liar from the very beginning. And now he sent his representatives into the body. And, you know, Yeshua said that these tares are going to be in among the wheat until the harvest. And so, you know, there's not a whole bunch you can do about that, but you can develop an awareness. And the scripture clearly articulates what the criteria is for a true prophet. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verses 20 through 22, we find this admonition. And it says this: the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And you may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has spoken? And then the answer is this: when a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, and the thing does not come about or come true, that is a thing which the Lord has not spoken, and a prophet has spoken it presumptively, you shall not be afraid of him, or in other words, brother, disregarding. And it's evident by taking a look at the history of Yeshua's followers that thousands of predictions have been made regarding prophecy, and thousands have failed. And the sad and tragic consequences, brother, are fatal for those who have trusted in the messengers of what had been prophesied that it would come true. And we find this, let's look at the one example that I have here called the Great Disappointment. And there's a Baptist preacher by the name of William Miller, who had been studying the prophecies of Daniel very, very diligently. And he came to a place where he had decided that Yeshua would return back to the earth in 1843. And he got a whole bunch of people on his side to get excited about the return. And 1843 came, and 1843 went without Yeshua coming back. So he went back to the drawing board, and he began to look at the prophecies again. And someone had admonished him that he left out a year because of the AD and BC thing. So he set another date for October 22nd, 1844. And as many as 100,000 Christians gathered on hillsides, in meeting places, and in meadows, and they were breathlessly and joyously expecting the return of their Lord and Savior, Yeshua, and the crowds had assembled because of the prophetic claim of an upstate New York farmer who had this revelation, and he was certain from his studies that Yeshua was going to return on that day. And so he made that second prediction, and the prophesied return date had arrived, and the waiting crowds gathered at various places, mainly throughout the northeast United States, peered expectantly upward as the hours slipped away, and anxiety grew as nightfall descended, and then midnight hour tolled, and still Yeshua had not returned. And people became more restless, though they were in the wee hours of darkness. The dejected, the stunned crowds began to disperse, and when daylight of October 23rd arrived, it was clear that he was not coming to return as expected. And I'm looking at this, the response of this, in an article that I read. It said, this dash hope came to be known as a great disappointment. In his book, When Time Shall Be No More, historian Paul Boyer offers an example of a deep despondency suffered by the Millerites. In the words of one tragically disappointed believer, he declared, our fondest hopes and expectations were blasted, and such a spirit of weeping came over us I had never experienced before. We wept and wept until the day dawned. And so when Yeshua did not return as expected, many who had hopefully waited for the return of their Savior threw off their faith completely. And some refused to give up their hope and eventually replaced one delusion with another. And they would claim that Yeshua would not come visibly to the earth, but he was moving into the Holy of Holies place in heaven to begin his investigative judgment. And, you know, what I find interesting about this situation is it was called a great awakening and then a great disappointment. And when it happened in 1844, a lot of people threw off their faith and just never returned. And that is my concern with a lot of these false teachers, false prophets today. And actually, this investigative judgment that they wound up making a claim about, that it wasn't the actual physical return to the earth, but it was going to be that Yeshua would go into the holies of holies in heaven in 1844. There is one denomination that has built one of their major doctrinal tenets on this William Millerite movement false prophecy, and they continue to perpetuate this lie. I remember when I was exposed to this teaching, I challenged the General Conference of Oklahoma president to a Bible study and said that there's no way that this could be true, that he went into the most holy place in 1844, when in fact when Yeshua died, the veil was rent in two, and it said very clearly that he went in through the most holy place to obtain eternal redemption once and for all. But he went into the most holy place, and he's now sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. And unfortunately, people do not know their Bibles well enough, and they listen to these teachers, and if you don't agree with this particular denomination about this particular teaching, then you're regarded as unenlightened.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me throw something in here. You know what? When I first came out of the world, you know, I used to be pretty dead set thinking I knew everything, but the Lord humbled me a bunch of times. But you know what? We put in Messiah's branch, it's just a small congregation, you know. We put our tables in a horseshoe shape. Everybody inputs. And so, you know, when we get done, we're in agreement with what we learned for the evening and what we've studied for the evening, and everybody gets a chance to input. And so, you know, that way, you know, it gives a chance for the Holy Spirit to teach instead of just me standing up there and pushing everything down their throats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a learning environment made by the Holy Spirit, and that's how we should all. Folks, when you go into a church, there you should see an open Bible there. The pastor should be reading out of the Bible. That's where his message should come from. When it comes to Bible study, you're supposed to do the Bible study and not doctrines of men, and you should all input. Back to you, Steve.
That's right, brother. The B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, and we ought to know it very, very well, because what we find the false teachers and false prophets doing is twisting a little thing around and make it a thing where you either give up your faith or they make predictions in their assemblies. All through history you find this. There's a man who started the Worldwide Church of God who between 1938 and 1945 had given 21 major prophecy failures. And by the time he had died, he had given over 200 false prophecies, one of which was, and after 1972 arrived, which was going to be the time when Yeshua was to return to the earth, a lot of his supposed followers, and by the way, the Great Tribulation was to begin then, and many were surprised when that didn't take place. And what I find interesting is this church is still going on today, even though this leader had all these prophecy failures and had made all these declarations of when Yeshua would come, and he made over 200 failures in predictions. And now this particular church is split into all kinds of different offshoots: the Philadelphia Church of God, the Restored Church of God, the Living Church of God, and a lot of them are still recognizing his writings as equal to the Bible. He's the same one who predicted he'd become one of the two witnesses, along with his son Garner Ted, And he also predicted just many things like John Paul II would unite Europe and et cetera, et cetera. But
let me give a little follow-up to that. Let me give a little follow-up to that just to make the record correct, because I know these, I know a lot of these people, absolutely. Anyway, what, a lot of those churches, congregations, after all that turmoil, split up, and they did fraction into a lot of different slivers. A lot of them have now came away from his doctrines and are now, a lot of them have turned into Hebrew roots churches because they were keeping the feast and things, and they're on a different path. So out of that, while there is a lot of them that split into different ones, and they argue over his writings, and one of them has it right and the other one doesn't, there is a lot of them, a lot of those congregations that are now Messianic type churches or Hebrew roots, whichever you want to call them, that are on the right path. So back to you.
Yeah. There are those who have ears to hear, and the true believers will, in fact, you know, have an ear to hear, and they'll make the adjustments and go and continue on. how much time do I have, brother?
We had, you only got about 3 minutes.
Okay. There are many, many people. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, in fact, he just died just, I think a year or so ago, who proclaimed himself to be the man Christ Jesus. And he made predictions and had a big following, had his followers get tattoos with 666. We have denominations that have followed these false teachers, one being Mr. Charles Russell, who started the Watchtower Society. And, you know, he made many, many predictions and many, many adjustments. It's not unlawful to make predictions, but when you begin to say, God told me, and this is the revelation I received from God, then you're getting in trouble. And then today there's, you know, over 8 million of these followers, who are still together, based upon, a foundation of false doctrine. We also know about the prophet Joseph Smith, who once, declared that God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. And he was saying that the wise and true God was once a man and now is God. And, you know, and it was, a lot of these lies were perpetuated and still continue in this particular church. And it's easy to pick on some of the oddball churches, but there are a lot of churches out there, brother, and a lot of leaders. As I started out this particular discussion.
Well, I'm going to have to break you off. We only got about 30 seconds or less. But this is a particular discussion that I would like to have again with you, and I would like to input some on it to myself, because this is a very, very important subject for the body of Messiah.
Definitely.
Why don't you tell them where your website is and everything, and I'm going to have to get you out of here so I can get out of here.
Okay, brother. SureWordProphecy.org. May Yahweh keep you under his almighty shadow. Thank you for your invitation, brother. Be blessed.
All right, you be blessed. Okay, folks, sounded like somebody had a telephone go off that didn't have it turned down. Wonder who that was. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your support. It's at the end of the month, and all the bills ain't paid, and so pray about it. I haven't really been connected with everything like I should because of my wife in that situation. So pray about a donation. But remember, there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, 3 days and 3 nights, folks. Lord our God, Father King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace until, like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.